Important dates in Christian history. 270 AD. A wealthy young man named Antony gives away his possessions and begins life as a hermit. Disciples follow his example, and the first monastic movement began. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to Reflux Radio. I know you're thinking Wretched Radio. No, it's Reflux Radio. Because that's what we were talking about, the reflux business and consumption of coffee. I have got a tip for you if you've got the GERD or you've got any sort of ERPS where it kind of from down there comes up here and it burns your throat. Coffee consumption. You might not have to quit. This is so counterintuitive to me, but the darker the roast, the less the acid. The processing of it, the longer it stays in that little rotisserie thing where it cooks the beans. I'm sure that's not the right word. Bakes the beans? Processes. Does to the beans whatever the process is for doing coffee beans to make them delicious. The longer it's in there, the acid goes away. So if you're thinking, I want to stay away from a really stiff cup of espresso-like coffee, actually, might be better for your gut. If that doesn't work, obey your doctor's orders. Please send stuff. Mrs. Hicks has the GERD.
She does have the GERD.
Yeah, we were talking about it in the hallway. Silent GERD.
Yeah.
Stealth.
That's right.
It doesn't tell you it's there. It just sets your throat on fire.
Yeah, they you know, you're talking about the coffee. They also sell a low acid coffee, but it's so expensive.
Oh, so expensive.
Yeah.
What isn't? Honestly, come on, Golden Age. Let's go here. Let's get these prices. Ridiculous. Coffee is crazy priced. We always have to hawk it on sale. At Publix, I don't know if you got a Publix near you, every other week they do twofers. Mm. And that's helpful. It's still too expensive. And by the way, here's another shopping tip brought to you by Reflux Radio. That when you do the two for one, at least at Publix, you don't have to buy two.
That's right.
You just buy the one and you get it at half price.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody does that.
My daughter told me that. It's like, what? How did I not know this? I've been buying two of them just because, you know, you feel like you're getting a deal. You buy so many groceries that you'll never use just because I think I'm actually making money here. Well, you don't have to buy both of them. You just get them at half price. You're welcome. Now, in exchange for that very helpful information, would you please send us some wretched information to idea@wretched.org or text with whatever is on your mind, knowing full well Jimmy cannot respond because...
We're poor.
No, I don't want to impugn your integrity, but what kind of a phone system doesn't allow... Are you sure you're shooting straight with us?
I'm shooting straight with you. All Maybe right. I just don't know how to use it. Maybe we need to get some tech support.
Well, if we had some. 877-282-2337.
Right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, my parents have been members of our local Bible-believing church for several years now, but they feel they're not connected to anyone. Mm. They say other people have all of these friendships and connections while they don't feel included. What should they do?
There's a couple of options here. Let's do the hard one first. Anytime that you are not successful in fostering a friendship or a dating relationship, you've got to ask yourself the question. This is the hard part of the response. Is there something about me? Are we an issue here? It's an opportunity to do a little introspection and see if you need to grow in a particular area, and that ain't a bad thing. So you can't take that off of the table. Having said that, my other suggestion might be to ask, how much of an effort are you making? How much of an effort are you making? Every church should be so open-armed toward other believers, but let's be honest, it happens. You kind of fall into cliques. It's not great. You should strive to work against that. One of the best ways that you can do that, I think, is after the Sunday service, don't talk to the same people every Sunday. Find new folks. Engage with other people. For whatever reason, you don't think that they're your cup of tea. Well, do tea with them anyway, because it'll expand your relationships. So it could be that the church currently has a culture that makes it harder for people to be let in. In that situation, I would say, well, then you're just going to have to keep knocking. You're going to have to keep pursuing. You're going to maybe have to try harder. If you're waiting for people to go, hey, how's about brunch this Sunday? You might be waiting a long time. Initiate it. Try to get it. When you see people standing around talking, just cozy up. Just kind of get yourself nudged in there. And whether you participate or not, you might just, if the church is kind of, for whatever reason, it's a little bit more difficult to make a relationship, then you're just going to have to work a little bit harder. Now, there is kind of a nuclear option that is a possibility. I don't think that it's the rule, but I think an exception could be that you've got a church culture that just isn't healthy. That is an option. I've been to those churches. I'm telling you, if you got any sort of Christian spidey sense, you can feel it in a church that is just brr. You walk by people, they don't even look at you. It's like, what? Nobody greets you. You even try to have a conversation with somebody and you feel like, it's like, I didn't just shoot your dog. Why are you like so chilly here? There could be a church culture. It could be an issue where you want to bring it to your elders. I don't think it's an issue that should cause you to leave. It should be something that you observe and say, you know, the culture around here, it's not really great. I wonder if the pastor even knows. I'm going to assume that he doesn't and maybe have a chat with him. Interestingly, if you do have a conversation with him, you could start it with, hey, pastor, I'm having a hard time making friends here. What do you suppose is it? Do you see anything in me? Is there something I don't know about the culture here? Have you ever observed that? Do other people complain? So in other words, it's more of a question than an accusation. And you might be shocked. He might go, you know what? I had no, actually, now that you bring it up, I think I need to start preaching more about this particular issue as much as the text will provide, so that he can start to develop and foster a community of friendship and fellowship. So I think those are your options. Jimmy, you got any other ones?
Yeah. So this isn't specifically to the question asker, because I'm not saying that they're not, but one choice would be to start serving and maybe
just getting involved.
Yeah. Getting involved, because relationships form kind of naturally there in those situations. And if you are serving, serve somewhere different, you know, go move and do, if you've been an usher, go somewhere else and start talking and communicating with new people.
Yep. You become a greeter. There's another one. Become an usher, where you get to welcome people who come into the church and they can't avoid you. Gotcha. 877-282-2337.
This is from AJ. Todd, I've heard several times that once dating someone starts to get really serious, you should disconnect yourself from certain friends, specifically friends of the opposite gender. Mm. What do you think? If I'm dating to avoid jealousy, should I begin to stop talking to my female friends?
I'm going to take a step backward even. Female friends. Now, I don't think that we need to be gender segregated all of the time. But Jimmy, but even when you were single, did you have a lot of female friends?
Not that I would say we're friends, like I would say.
Acquaintances.
Yeah, acquaintances, people that you knew and you're friendly with.
School, you work with them.
I didn't hang out with them.
Yeah, so that strikes me as a little... I don't know, it just doesn't kind of for me. I'll translate that for you later. Do you need to stop having those friends once it starts getting serious? Well, you don't cut people off. You don't just abruptly ghost them. But do you need to start being even more protective? Yeah, I think so. You should have been protective before, but even more so now. And you want to avoid any hint. Also, you want to honor the one that you're courting, pursuing, whatever you want to call it. So for those reasons, I think you need to start developing those habits now. Now, if you're hearing this and you're going, so wait, a guy who's married can't like talk to other women? Didn't say that. But you should be mindful that there are snares and dangers everywhere, and you want to be thoughtful as to how you go about the business of having female acquaintances, whether it is at work, church, neighborhood. You got to be mindful of that. And you got to have some rules for that. Now, the good news is in church, that's the easiest place to do it. Okay, here's a good for instance. Libby. Is she in today, by the way?
I don't know.
David was in counseling. I didn't see Libby. She was in yesterday, I think. At any rate, she's a Fortis fellow. Please listen to her podcast, The Better Way. Did I mention Josh Williamson was here from England? His wife actually listens to the podcast because it's really super good. And she's also at church. She heads up the women's counseling at Alpharetta Bible Church. And there are times when I need to communicate with her. So you know who gets a text? She and her husband do. And guess what? When she sends me a text, it goes to Mrs. Friel too. Why? Does it mean that we don't trust? No, we're just being wise. We're just being wise. And nobody's offended. Nobody's bugged by that. The culture in our church, everybody's like, yep, I get it. Totally understand. Because you just want to honor your spouse. And you just don't want to start down a road that could lead to temptation. So protect. Come up with, same thing with work. Ask yourself, you're a godly man. Should you be driving in a car with a woman to go to lunch? You're looking for trouble, especially if you're married. Come up with rules. And if somebody gets offended by it, yeah, well, yeah. This is Wretched Radio. That was pretty articulate. Yeah. Yeah. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where Faithful Gospel Partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And talk to the dudes in your church. This is Wretched Radio. If you're wondering how to navigate courting, dating, marriage, relationships with people of the opposite gender when you're married, talk to the older men in your church. They've been there. They've done that. They can provide the wisdom that you need to create rules. This is not to be flaky and weird. This is called wisdom. Temptation, you'd think you're above it. Take heed lest you fall. There's a perception issue. You got a temptation issue. You've got a perception issue. And you've got an honoring issue. I'm telling you, you go out, you're married at work, and you go out to have lunch with a woman at work, or it's even a client, and it's just the two of you there. You just see the look on your wife's face when you tell her that. Now, she might not appear to be too concerned about that. I think every woman is just wounded by something like that. You honor your wife. And if it costs you something, so be it. The Lord will honor you for honoring her. Please send your thoughts on the subject or anything else. 877. What? You've got that pensive look on your face.
No, I was just going to say that.
See, you always do that. You always do that.
Well, you can't see me. I can't see that you can see me.
I
right now.
Can see you just fine. You've got that look on your face. And then when I say, is there something you want to say? Well, no. And then you talk.
Well, I'm sorry.
You're the guy who goes, hey, I hate to interrupt.
No, I don't.
What'd you do?
I don't. No, you know that. I'll come in and say, hey, I'm interrupting. And then I interrupt.
I'm not apologizing at all.
That's right.
Look out. I want to talk to somebody in the room.
Now, what I was going to say is that you brought up, you know, look at your wife's face. If you tell her that you're going to go out to lunch or you're going in a vehicle to lunch with another someone from work, think about how you would feel if she did that to you.
Oh, not good.
No.
That's like, okay, hold on. Who is this guy?
Yeah.
What exactly? What did you guys talk about? Why did you do? Oh, yeah.
That should clear it up real quick.
Yeah, it should. That brought a lot of clarity. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org or you can text 877-282-2337.
This is from Josh. Todd, I'm struggling with the concept of forgiveness. I was moved recently by Erica Kirk's statement that she has forgiven Charlie's killer. However, this statement has sparked some tension within my wife's parents and the rest of the family. Her parents liken Erica's statement to squishy Christianity and claim that forgiveness can only happen if the offender repents and asks for forgiveness. They claim that forgiveness can only happen under these circumstances, and I've always viewed forgiveness as something that we as Christians should do regardless of if the person who offended us asked for forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah, there's two sides to this. It's not just your family. There are a lot of really good believers who disagree on this issue. Must a transaction take place for you to grant forgiveness? On the one hand, you've got people who would say, absolutely. Otherwise, a transaction hasn't taken place. You can't forgive something if they don't ask for forgiveness. Then they equate it to the gospel. You can't have your sins forgiven by God unless you repent. Okay, that's that side. There are other people on the other side who would go, nope, 70 times 7. Furthermore, if we're going to use salvation as the baseline for what a transaction of forgiveness looks like, then not only does the person need to repent, they need to put their trust in you. Okay. So you got good believers on both sides of it. And I feel both of those personally. And I think the common ground that can happen in between would be that we all agree that the individual who has been sinned against is like, I want to forgive. I am ready to forgive. My heart is a heart of forgiveness. I am ready to do it. Oh, the other reason that the original folks would say there's got to be a transaction, if your brother sins against you and repents 70 times 7. Now, people on the other side would say, well, that wasn't giving an exact, that is a part of the transaction that needs to take place. The spirit of the text is that you have a heart filled with forgiveness because you've been forgiven. So you can go round and round all day. I don't think this should be an issue that starts a family fight. You got good people on both sides. Can we all agree the heart of the Christian is a heart of forgiveness? Jimmy, which side of the coin are you on?
Yeah, I think we're always aimed towards forgiveness.
Yeah. But do you think repentance, somebody has to come to you and say, Jimmy, please forgive me before you'll grant it?
No, because I don't think we forgive people for them. We forgive people for us.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
This might change your tune, Pally boy. I'm not Stuart Scott, John. Stuart Scott. What?
That's the ESPN guy, wasn't it?
No. Well, Stuart, maybe it is.
Oh, that's
Biblical
Stuart
counselor.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Passions of the Heart. Dr. John
Street.
Thank you. I was going to say Kratz. By the way, speaking of, as long as I brought up John Kratz, you got to listen. You got to listen to his podcast. I just saw an email of somebody said their life just got flipped upside down in a great way because he tries to apply the Bible to reality and he does an awesome job at it. It's called Thrive. No, that's Brad Bigney. Dude, I don't think I've told you. I'm not supposed to talk about this. But just between you and me, I think we've got two new podcasts coming up in 2026.
Oh, I'm so excited.
You just lied, didn't you?
No, me?
Because that just increased Jimmy's workload a little bit. We'll have to talk about how we're going to get a... You're pretty much a mag. You don't know what Jimmy does around here. Nobody actually does. But I think that he produces all of the podcasts. So you do Wretched. Mm-hmm. And you do all of the production and the voicing on all of the other podcasts.
Correct.
All right, Dave lends some support. So we got to give props to Dave. Mm-hmm. But you're the man responsible for all of those. So we're throwing two more at you.
Okay.
Buckle up. They're going to be so... You're going to be like, no way. Those guys are going to do a podcast as a part of Fortis Institute? Yeah. So Dr. John Street. No, Dr. John Kratz. Brad Bigney. The podcast is integrated.
That's it.
Got it. Why do I feel like I just drove to South Dakota and back? 877-282-2337.
Here's a text from Anna. Todd, I'm really interested in the end times, but eschatology is so confusing. If God is not a God of confusion, why is this still a topic of hot debate and remains unclear?
Well, let's use any other ology besides eschatology. There's other theologies that we goof up. So God is not a God of confusion. We're the people of confusion. It's on us. We're the ones who just don't get it. It's crystal clear in God's mind. He articulated beautifully. It says that we goof it up. That's all there is to it. We goof it up. Speaking of God articulating clearly, I was for Sunday sermon at ABC, been thinking about what's coming up with first. We're going to be going into 1 Peter. And so I've been diving really deep into 1 Peter. And I thought, wow, this guy's writing is so big, so profound. It's just like, whoa, how did a fisherman pen that? Now, I don't think Peter was dumb. Clearly he wasn't an illiterate man. But we have no reason to believe that he was like this amazing author. So how do we account for the style of Peter being very evident and the profundity of what he wrote? It's the Holy Spirit. It just screams Holy Spirit. Same thing with Matthew. It's like that gospel, man, I'm telling you, wow, what a tapestry that thing is. Just woven together beautifully. How did that guy, that tax collector, pull it off? The Holy Spirit and his personality. So the Bible is magnificent. We should be able to understand it. We just don't. And it's not just eschatology. We kind of tussle over a number of ologies. So God isn't a God of confusion. We're the confused people. Do your best and have I think the best thing that you can do if you're studying eschatology that will help you have a real systematized and consistent theology on end times, hermeneutics. Hermeneutics and eschatology, they have got to be friends. I mean, really good friends. If they are disconnected, you're going to come up with an inconsistent eschatological position. I think you're going to look at Israel one way and then the church another way. And then it is not exactly sure what to do with the Jewish people in the end. It is a consistent hermeneutic that I think is demanded when it comes to eschatology. If you don't, I'm telling you, you will have an eschatological dog's breakfast. You will forever be confused. But if you practice a consistent grammatical historical hermeneutic, then you will come up with my eschatology, which is exactly right. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.